Now when that journey's completed, then all of a sudden you have this kind of emotional release. And that's what I had that night.
ESPNW presents Be Honest with Carrie Champion.
Hey everybody, welcome to a very special edition of Be Honest. The reason why I'm excited is because I've promised this to you, or I've promised it to myself. Kobe Bean Bryant on Be Honest. Kinda. So I had the opportunity to sit down with the GOAT, one of the GOATs. And it's weird because I knew it would happen. I felt as if I needed to speak to Kobe. I don't know if he knew I needed to speak to him and he wanted to chat with me, but however it all went down, it went down. And we aired the interview on SportsCenter Coast to Coast at noon. If you missed it, please go online and find it. And Kobe Bryant was very zen, had a very zen way about himself. You would think after that 60-point game that he would be missing it, that he felt like he needed to get back in the game, that he would be anxious. You know, it's weird. None of that came across. I believe he is truly happy with his decision to retire after 20 years in the NBA. And why not? He did it all. He won all the rings. He answered all the questions. There's very little doubt about how great he is. His legacy speaks for itself. So when I, diehard Laker fan, as we all know, had the opportunity to finally meet Kobe, I asked all those questions. I read his body language. I tried to read between the lines of what he was saying. And to my surprise, and not my surprise, he was eloquent. He was well-informed. And just happy. That's how I can describe it. That's how I can describe it. He was just happy, content. So on this edition of Be Honest, we're going to take the interview that aired on SportsCenter Coast to Coast, and we're giving it to you. But we're giving it to you truly almost unedited, in the sense that you will hear the outtakes, the flubs, the not so clean questions or the not so clean responses, because I want to give you that opportunity to hear about it. Most people who download this podcast know that I really truly try to give you an authentic voice, and Kobe talks about it all. He talks about Luke, he talks about the finals. He talks about Clay and Steph. He talks about players that remind him of himself. He also talks about his future plans and what he wants to do. He is Kobe Bryant. So without further ado, Black Mamba.
You're the ultimate competitor. You have not been an active player while the finals were happening your entire adult life.
Yeah.
So here we are on the eve of the very first game one of the NBA Finals. How do you feel?
That's great. Yeah, the game's tomorrow, huh?
Yes.
I feel fine. You know, I've been very fortunate to have played in my share of finals and have won my share of them. So
You're an interloper. You're not active. You have to watch it.
That's fine. Like, no, it's pretty cool actually, because I can watch it from an entertainment perspective and not have to worry about training or preparing for the next season. I can just kind of watch and just enjoy it and, you know, root for everybody.
Root for everybody. Yeah. So you made news without making news. If making history was easy, why bother? An alleged text sent to one Draymond Green after game four.
Yeah, well, you know, I love sharing information with all the players. You know, I just feel like it's you know, when I was coming up, I was very fortunate to have a lot of mentors who shared a lot of knowledge with me. And you know, I try to pass it on to this generation of players. And I just felt like that was the right message to say. You know, it's not something where you're defeated or it's a nice challenge to have.
You sent it to Draymond. What other players are you in contact with?
Well, I talked to quite a few of them. You know, Kyrie Irving is I spoke to Kyrie Irving several times, Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Bron. I mean, it's a lot of the young guys. A lot of the young guys. James Harden. I mean, it's I'm the old vet, so you know, when I was playing, they were like 5 years old. So
Cleveland Cavaliers taking on the Golden State Warriors. I look at the two leaders of those teams, Steph Curry, LeBron James. What are the differences between those two players?
I mean, the way that they approach the game is completely different, and the systems that they operate in are very different as well. I mean, their styles of play are diametrically opposed to each other. I mean, it's pretty interesting to see the force that Cleveland plays with, the physicality versus the fluidity of a Golden State. So it should be an interesting series.
You're not in the prediction business, but if you had to?
No, I don't do predictions. I don't. But I like looking at the schematics of things and the tactical adjustments that teams will make from game to game. And I'm looking forward to see what Cleveland does in game one. They've had a lot of time to rest, right? So I'm looking forward to seeing how they come out to start of game one. High energy, high level physicality. They try to slow Golden State down. How? So I'm curious to see how those answers, how those problems get answered.
If you look at the players in the NBA today, who is the closest, or who would you say has a Kobe instinct about them?
There's several of them, I think, out there right now that approach the game, extremely, extremely seriously. Now, I get a kick out of watching Golden State play because, they seem very unassuming. Klay and Steph seem very calm and nice guys. Those guys are stone cold killers, man. They don't care about what you think of them. They don't care about if they make a game winning shot or miss it. They're out there to do their job. And, they have a very strong sense of killer instinct.
It's interesting because I hear that people believe Russell Westbrook is the closest to Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, he is ultra, ultra aggressive and plays with this emotional rage, that's exactly how I was. Exactly.
He reminds you of yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we play angry, and it's, when I watch him play, I see myself when I was 21, 22 years old.
When you see him walking down the tunnel in his outfits, remind you of you at all?
No, I mean, I've worn some crazy stuff, but not like, I've worn the long leather coat, blade style, at the White House. That was probably not the best call to make.
Okay.
So I've done some pretty crazy stuff from a fashion perspective, but I can't do the tight, the real tight.
Headband?
Yeah, that's not me. That's not me.
Holes and jeans?
Nah, I missed that generation. If I was coming up during this era, I don't know. I can't see. That ain't me.
I don't see it either.
Yeah.
Since we're here in the fashion realm, anything that you wish you didn't do, looking back?
Yeah, that long black leather trench coat at the White House. I mean, what was I doing? Are you kidding? I mean, what?
Listen, you had just won. You're entitled.
Thank you for that, giving me an escape.
You're entitled.
I guess, but what the heck?
I look back every day on TV. I'm like, did I? Okay, not tomorrow. I won't do that anymore. All right, so Kobe Bryant now. I'm of the belief that the game was your first love, and it gave you such fulfillment, and that adrenaline rush seems to me would be difficult to replace. What do you do now to replace that feeling?
It was difficult to find something to replace it. I mean, it took me about 15 years to figure out what comes next. But once I figured it out, I've had the same passion, the same obsession over it as I have for basketball, which is the art of storytelling and figuring out how sports can inspire and inform the next generation. How can you raise a certain level of consciousness about the human spirit through sports is something I've become very obsessive over. So I found what that next passion is, and every morning I get up, I can't wait to get to work.
The art of storytelling is your next passion. You told our Ramona Shelburne that Walt Disney did it the best in terms of animation and creation. Mm-hmm. So Kobe Bryant, the next Walt Disney?
Well, I don't know about that, but I have muses. I think it's very important to have muses in your life, people that you really look up to and study and learn from. And you kind of use as kind of a North Star for what you're trying to create. And so I certainly have those, just as I had them in basketball with Michael and Magic and, the others. I try to have the same thing in storytelling in this production business.
Who are your muses now, and how do they inspire you?
Sure. I mean, Walt Disney is certainly one of them. J.K. Rowling's another one. Steven Spielberg, Jerry Bruckheimer, Johnny Ives, Mark Parker. These are all people that I really look up to. John Williams, great film composer. And I constantly pick their brain about the art of storytelling. And the truth of the matter is, it's all the same. Whether you're dribbling a basketball, or you're writing a script, or you're shooting the film, the art of storytelling and human emotion is the same. Now it's just trying to figure out how to take everything I've learned in my first profession and transfer that over to the next one.
So when can we, your fan, the viewer, the people who love basketball as well as the art of storytelling, see something that Kobe Bryant is doing?
I'm working on a pretty cool project now with John Williams and Glenn King. Glenn King is one of the greatest animators of all time. And working on a great project with them right now, animating My Dear Basketball Letter. So, working on that project and then working on the next phase. It'll probably take a little bit more time. It'll come out to the world when it's right. But that's the thing about storytelling. You don't have to put it out until it's absolutely, you feel like it's the best that you can possibly do.
Okay, so Dear Basketball, that poem, would you call it a poem?
I wasn't intended to be a poem. I just kind of wrote. I mean, I was sat there on my iPhone and just wrote. And so I wasn't intending it to be a poem, but it that's how it's been digested.
Your best work today?
It came from the heart. So, everything that I try to write has come from some form of experience of self-expression. And it's not whether it's a good piece of writing or something like that or something that people can relate to. It has to be an inner truth. And when it comes from that place, then it can't help but have, a place in the world.
Okay. My last question for you, because they're giving me the rap. 60-point game. I was there. Inside the arena, it was surreal. It felt like a movie. And then I'm scrolling through social media, and they're like, maybe this, maybe that. Is this happening? It's happening. No, it's happening. It was something special. So you described it as the opening scene in Kill Bill to one reporter. Why is that? And what was that night? What did it feel like for you?
Well, it's funny. It was like the beginning and the end of the film. I think the end of the film, Kill Bill, was actually the most powerful part. People have seen the movie, not seen it, I don't know. But it's at the part, it's at the end of the movie where she realizes that she's accomplished her task. And she goes into the bathroom and lays on the floor and just starts crying. It all comes out. Because up until that point, she really didn't realize the journey that she was on. Right now, when that journey's completed, then all of a sudden you have this kind of emotional release, and that's what I had that night. When I went home, I was just very reflective on what the heck just happened. It was just all such a blur, but at the same time, it was such an emotional release. I said, I can't believe this is it. This is over. The journey is completed, and it's such a beautiful thing for the human spirit to go through.
Did you feel like crying? Did you? Because you didn't cry there. I had an over-under.
No,
I lost.
No, I didn't feel like crying. No. I've never felt like crying. I felt a great emotional release. But I'm really excited about what comes next. And I think part of the motivation is that I'm supposed to do one thing. I'm supposed to play basketball, and that's all I'm supposed to be. And that's all I know. And so the challenge becomes, okay, I'm more than that. Us athletes, we can be more than that. What we do does not define who we are. So that's part of the motivation as to having this obsession about the next craft, I think.
I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you.
If you need my help, I've written some things.
Thank you.
Right. Two or three. Thank you. You forgot Luke. Dang it.
Oh, Lukey boy.
What you got to say about that? I'll paraphrase.
Good luck.
It's going to be hard.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, but he had to take it. Like, he couldn't say nothing.
Have the right staff, and then he can build the game the way he wants it to be built. I mean, he understands how to play championship ball.
Yeah.
How the ball must move, how to put players in the right position.
Sure.
Right? How to give players the kind of emotional stability.
So he should be a good coach. He just needs help. He needs a lot of help.
Well, no, he's going to be a great coach, but you need to have a great staff because they need to be extensions of you. And so he needs to have guys on the staff that understand his philosophy and can preach his philosophy when he's not around. Right? So this way you don't have inconsistent messages.
Yeah, all from the top bottom. All right. You're not coaching. I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
You have a very zen thing going on. You doing yoga? You want to take his mic off, I could tell.
Yeah,
okay. I'm looking forward to it. It's
You doing yoga? You chilling? What are you doing? What are we
zen,
doing?
Meditation,
exercise?
Always.
Meditation?
Always. I try to lift weights. I run. I do all that stuff.
So there you have it, folks. And so I get all these questions now. You met Kobe. I know you were nervous. I wasn't nervous. I felt like he was my brother. I'm not even being funny. When I walked up to him and I saw him coming over. So let me just set the scene. I'm sitting there with my producers and I'm discussing what we're going to say. I'm going over the questions. I see him. He walks up very unassuming, not as tall as I thought he would be. And I go, my best friend I've never met. And he kind of chuckles like, Okay. Almost as if he gave me a Kanye West, maybe I should smile, not smile type deal. Because he didn't really know what I meant by that. But then he started to loosen up because my sense of humor, if you don't know me, you don't get it. It comes across, but you're still like, is she being funny, sarcastic? I can't really tell. Whatever the case may be. He sat down. We were off to the races. And as he was leaving, honestly, it was weird because I jumped on his back and I said, don't go, don't go. I was like, oh, don't go. And then he was like, hey, security. And the security came and they threw me down. It was weird. It got awkward, you know, but whatever. That's not the point. The point is I got the interview and it was absolutely amazing to meet, quite frankly, one of the greatest players of all time. One player that I truly enjoy. I'm a diehard and it's on the bucket list of things. You want to interview the greats and he's one of the greats. That's truly on the bucket list of career achievements. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal time. And then on top of that, y'all, it was my birthday when I did the interview. Happy birthday to me. Birth with the F day to me. On the other side of the break, we continue. You missed him. Josh, the black podcast producer, Macri, because that's his name. His code name on the street is Black Podcast Producer. Well, he's back. And I asked him for some advice, some work advice. It's a little dated, but the advice, well, it stands the test of time. Be Honest back on the other side of the break. On Wednesday, while at work during a live show, we were having breaking news on SportsCenter, Coast to Coast at noon. So what happens is, Josh, because you're going to help me through this, my producer was trying to let me know that Kevin Durant was going live and we were expecting him to speak today and he wanted to tell me, hey, he's going live, Carrie, so be prepared. And I was like, okay, great. So I'm in the midst of an interview with Mark Spears, live television. He's in Oakland. And my producer gets in my ear and he says, Durant's what you're about.
I understand what you're saying.
I was like, you have to see my face. I'm in the middle of a live interview, and he's like, Durant can beat the Bulls.
Durant's going to the Celtics, is what he was saying.
No. He's trying to say, Carrie, get to Kevin Durant at this live press conference. Yeah. Carrie, get to Kevin Durant at a live press conference doesn't sound like Durant beat the Bulls, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're really on the ball, you probably could have figured it out, but you know, listen, you know, the LA thing, it's still new to you, all the equipment, probably a new IFB in your ear. It happens. I don't blame you.
So I thought my mic was potted down because they wanted me to do the breaking news.
Right.
And I say, calm down and please tell me again what you need me to do. Well, that goes off on live television.
Yeah.
It doesn't look too good on the kid now, does it? So I'm like, Mark Spears stops his live interview. I was like, huh? I was like, stand by, Mark. We have Kevin Durant. We're going to go live to him now in Oklahoma City. And meanwhile, I'm all like, excuse me, I'm cursing. We about to hear all kind of nonsense. So here go my mean tweets, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
Here go the mean tweets after that went live. It was, well, it's not a lot now, but it was like, somebody just pissed Carrie off. Please calm down and tell me what you need from me. They're quoting me exactly what I'm saying. Please calm down and tell me what you need from me. So I'm like,
I think you handled it like a pro, though.
I mean, it wasn't a big
all
deal.
All kidding aside.
Yeah, you know, seriously, it wasn't a big deal. But I'm very to the point when I work, and I want to know, as a woman, do you think I need to be more sweet when I'm giving direction?
Well, the way you phrase that, you're kind of putting me in a tough spot, Carrie.
No, because it's the truth, though. A man can say it. I've heard many of our colleagues go,
well, I was
going to
say, the way you handled the situation that you're referring to, you could have handled it a lot worse. I mean, there are a number of people, a number of broadcasting legends that both work here and elsewhere that have been caught on camera saying things that are far less polite and calm than what you said in that situation.
Okay. Okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think in that situation, you handled it like an absolute pro. Now, could you be nicer sometimes? Well, I'm talking about when the cameras and the mics are off, Carrie. That's what I'm referring to.
No, Josh, seriously, one of the things that I'm looking to do, and I'm not even being funny, and I might even have, now you guys have to understand, please understand, I'm talking to our viewers and I'm bringing Josh in on this. as a woman, we just are perceived differently when we're in positions of authority or if we're in a position of power. We just are. We get it. We understand. It's a double-edged sword. It's not fair, but it happens. I make a mistake on air. I have to get back to the kitchen. My coworker makes a mistake on air, and it's okay because he has automatic credibility. I've talked about it over and over again. My male colleague, my counterpart, if you will. So I do want to, and lately I've been thinking about that, because under pressure, under stress, really reveals your character. So instead of me being so direct, I do want to have a different tone. I want to say exactly what I'm saying, but I want to have a different tone because it's always your tone. Okay, if you could just calm down and please let me know what you need from me again, as opposed to, I need you to calm down and please repeat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Although I shouldn't have to do that, but to whom much is given, much is required. Do you agree?
Yes. Yes. And I think Uncle Ben from Spider-Man also said that. And I think he was right as well. So, words of wisdom from Carrie Champion and Ben Parker. Nicely done.
Listen. And then listen. Wait. Okay. So, Josh, because we're going rogue here on this third segment. Diana Brown is my cousin. She's a big wig at Herbalife. She's listening in. She has headphones on. I want to see if she wants to join and weigh in because she has people who work under her. And I know that she has to get tough with them sometimes. And Diana, if you could just lean into the microphone. This is totally unprovoked, folks. She's nervous. She's dropping things. How many
this
people
podcasting
work?
History.
I know, right here, right here. How many people work under you, Diana?
In this office that we're in, it's 24.
In this office, guys. So that's some boss stuff. She just hit us in this office because if we want to go worldwide, how many people is it?
Well, indirectly, worldwide, we have six other offices. And in each office, approximately, there are four planners in each one of those offices that I work with.
Okay. So you're traveling the world and you're being a boss. How nice are you? Are you always nice? Because you have such a wonderful demeanor.
Well, yeah, but yeah, I am. You know, I think my entire staff, they love me. I do think that, you know, but there's a side of me that when you have to stand up for what you believe. And then, too, I'm in a male-dominated office. So,
but they love you, though.
They do, but, you know, because I stand my ground, just like, you know, I agree with what you did. You wanted to know what do you want me to do? I would have said the same thing the same way you said it, you know. And sometimes that's needed to let them know that you are a professional. You want to do a good job, and you need to talk to me directly as to what you want me to do. So, you know, sitting around a boardroom with all my male counterparts, you know, all of the executives around, you know, sometimes you have to, you can't be too forceful at times. You know, you have to step back sometimes, you know, because then you become the aggressive one. You know, here she comes, you know, which is unfortunate, you know, because why can't we be just treated equally? You know, so I agree with what you did, and I would have handled it the same way, Carrie.
You listen. So Diana Brown dropping off some nuggets. She's sitting in here listening. I just had to turn her because I know she deals with people that are sometimes where you need to speak forcefully. But Josh, I don't want to. You and I have worked together. Honestly, I know I'm intense. So how do I? Because Delina can't speak right now. Little brown girl lost her voice. How do I, dealing with a lot of men, how do I not approach them forcefully, in your opinion?
I think that's impossible.
Why? Why?
Because if you need to command their respect, you need to speak with a little bit of force.
All the women are shaking their head. Adam, your thoughts?
I think in this situation, I'm not supposed to have any thoughts, so I'll just...
No, you can have an opinion. He doesn't want to give it, because you don't want to be honest.
I'm a nice guy, Carrie. You know how many people report to me? You know how many people report to me, Carrie?
How many?
And I'm a really nice guy.
How many?
Zero.
Well, you have a point there, Josh.
Maybe I need to get a little more gruff around the edges.
You have a point there. I don't want to be that. I'm really working on myself because I've been saying this these last two podcasts. Every new level requires a new you. So each level we move up, Josh, you got to be somebody different, or you have to adjust, or you have to be aware of your surroundings and those with you. Like, I'm aware of that, and I feel this transition that I'm making in my life. And so seriously,
I really, really, I'm not trying to say I'm going to be another person, but I really want to be aware of my tone and my approach. Sometimes that's just going to be on them, right? Sometimes that's just going to be their issue. They're going to have to deal with that. But I really want to be, maybe it's patience. Maybe that's the word I'm looking
for. Well, and there's also something to be said for what a lot of elite athletes do. I mean, there's the on-the-field persona and the off-the-field persona. Maybe there can be a when the red light is on carry and when the red light is off carry.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I agree with you. I'm listening to you. This is why I need your Anglo wisdom. You don't mind me saying that, right? Because it's good. You guys look at things totally different.
And well,
as a woman, your people. You know your people.
Not a bad nerd voice, Carrie.
Yeah.
What I say.
Yeah. No, Josh is the black podcast producer. He's got the street credibility.
That's true.
They know you in the hood, but you too can sit in boardrooms and make them feel comfortable. You wear khakis, no?
Occasionally. Very rarely.
What kind of shirt you got on right now?
I have a button down on.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't have khakis on. I have very stylish.
All right, it's one or the other.
And
you're not wearing a t-shirt
in
jeans. You're wearing a button down in jeans. Or it'd be a khaki with some type of button down. Like you're in the world.
Right, right. And the boat shoes make me look very New England hood right now.
Yeah, so what happens though? Do you guys get together and say these are the outfits we want? And I'm just not saying they as in just you, but just the men in general. I mean, all races wear this outfit, but how do you determine that one particular button down in jean ensemble?
It's worked for me for like 10 years, so I just figured why mess up a good thing, you know? And I don't have high-powered stylists like you do, Carrie.
Well, you got a woman. Your woman is fly.
And I say, hey, does this look good? She goes,
she
yes,
fly.
It does.
You got a fly woman, so I'm not even, and I'm that, you guys, that's not even a joke. He got a fly fiance. All right, so listen, I missed you. Do you miss us?
Relatively, yeah.
You do not.
You don't miss us.
You don't even love us. You don't love him. Bleep. You don't love us no more.
We need to get Snoop Dogg on here to tell you what I really think.
Yeah, relatively, which is why I love you, because you are honest. Well, I mean, hey, Carrie, it's no different. I've just been pushing through work. I will say this. I'm going through this big thing where I'm going to start promoting all the podcasts on another platform, so I'm excited about that. So we won't make your work so hard for you. But we wanted you specifically, Delina and I wanted you on the podcast, because we just want to say we miss Josh, the black podcast producer.
I miss you guys, too.
Thank you for being on Be Honest-ish. And you were kind of honest-ish.
Yeah.
All right.
I can be honest, but my delivery is a little bit more...
ish.
Yeah, than yours.
All right, so we're going button down in jeans today.
Mm-hmm.
You look good.
Thank you, Carrie.
Thanks for being on.
Thanks for listening to Be Honest with Carrie Champion. For more great podcasts, check out ESPN.com/podcenter.